चरित्थिरागतं कृष्णं भग्नार्जुनं अथावयत् रामं सरोहिणी देवी कृदन्तं बलखाय वृषं.
Once, after the uprooting of the Jamala Arjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Rama and Krishna, who had gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda was more attached to Krishna and Balaram than Rohini Devi. Although Rohini Devi was the mother of Balaram, Mother Yashoda sent Rohini Devi to call Rama and Krishna from their play, since it was the time for lunch. Therefore, Rohini Devi went to call them, breaking their engagement in play. Srila Shukadev Goswami, in today's sloka, is revealing the inconceivable nature of the pastimes of the Lord. After uprooting the Yamalarjuna trees, Krishna's playing like a child on the banks of the river Jamuna with his other boyfriends. Although Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the possessor of all opulences, the source of all incarnations, the source of everything that exists, he is playing like a child in the forests of Vrindavan. In the previous chapter, we read about how and why Krishna uprooted these Yamala Arjuna trees. Srila Prabhupada explained, unless we understand very clearly the power of the supreme nature of the absolute truth, we cannot properly enter into a deep appreciation of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. On the highest level of spontaneous love, the intimacy of affection between Krishna and his devotees eclipses all conceptions of his almighty nature. But until we come to that level, it is very important to understand Krishna's supreme power, so that when we hear of his childlike pastimes in Vrindavan, it melts our hearts. And when the heart is properly melted, then all the knowledge of his opulences is simply eclipsed by the nature of his sweet pastimes and beauty. That is Vrindavan. It is described that Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were the two sons of Kuvera, and they were very intimate associates of Lord Shiva. Thus they became proud. They were bathing in the Mandakini Ganga with beautiful heavenly ladies. None of them were wearing any clothes at all. And Narada Muni happened to come at that time. Nala Kuvera and Manigriva did not concern themselves with offering respect to such a great personality as Narada Muni. This is due to the disease of false pride lingering in their hearts. Pride is the greatest enemy for an aspiring Vaishnava. And if we examine briefly, what were the reasons that Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were so proud? If we study carefully, we may find many essential lessons that will protect us from falling from the path of true bhakti. One thing is they were very learned. They were very beautiful in their bodily features. And they were very wealthy, quite famous. These are all spiritual disqualifications, according to Queen Kunti. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibir Eda Manamata Puman Naivarhatyabhita Thumbai Tvam Akinshana Goshana. Queen Kunti prayed, "My Lord, you are easily approached by those who are impoverished, by those who claim nothing to be their own. However, to those who are trying to improve the quality of their life through material arrangements and who attain high birth, high education, physical beauty, and wealth, they cannot call out your holy names with great feeling. In fact, when we become infatuated by our own opulences, and we are under the misconception that they are our own, then it is inevitable that we must commit offenses to others. Because when you are proud, you start comparing yourself to others. You start to think that you have the right to make judgments of others. And there's another consideration of why Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were so proud. Srila Prabhupada explains, because they were personal, confidential associates of Lord Shiva. Now we know, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Lord Shiva is greatest Vaishnava. He takes the role of a demigod in obedience to Lord Krishna, but he's a worshipable, worshipable devotee. When he drank the poison, Kalakuta, from the churning of the ocean of milk, Prabhupada explained that he manifested the topmost service to the Lord by showing compassion for the welfare of all living beings. So how is it that they were associates of Lord Shiva, and due to having such close relationship with such a great soul, they also became very proud? Some devotees had the good fortune of being very close, intimate associates with Srila Prabhupada. And in that association, if they were actually taking the association sincerely and understanding the glory of Srila Prabhupada, they should be very, very humbled in that association. Just like to the degree you know Krishna and understand Krishna, you have to become humbled, feeling yourself utterly insignificant in his presence. However, if we think that we're better than other devotees because we had a closer association with Srila Prabhupada or any great Vaishnava, if it makes us proud instead of humble, then that pride could be the cause of your fall down, because you'll make offenses. So Maya is so strong, she's so powerful, that she'll even take the most auspicious situation in the whole creation and make it into a dangerous condition for you. That is how the false ego works. So thinking they were such great personalities, thinking that they were above any rules or any reactions to their activities due to their opulences and their association of Lord Shiva, they neglected to offer respect to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, being very merciful, wanted to teach them a good lesson. So he cursed them to be in a miserable, poverty-stricken condition. Can you imagine? From being the sons of Kuvera in the heavenly planets, playing in the most pleasurable groves and valleys of the holiday areas of the demigods, to becoming two trees. What does a tree own? A tree cannot move. Because they were standing naked before Narada, you became naked as trees.
Hare Krishna.
For 100 celestial years, they stood there in the heat and in the cold with nothing. And the reason Narada Muni gave them this curse is because he saw they were infatuated by false pride. And if he took away everything, they may become humble. And not only that, in their humble position, then they would be able to eventually witness the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. They were cursed to take birth as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul Mahavan. Krishna knows what is best to purify his devotees. Srila Prabhupada would often pray or quote the verse that when Krishna is merciful to his devotee, he gives his devotee all kinds of facilities, fulfills his desires. But when he shows his supreme compassion to his devotee, he will often take away everything. So that devotee has nothing. Even his own relatives, friends turn against him. So this is what we find here. And even within our own movement, individually and collectively, we have to understand, if we become proud for whatever reason, and we make offenses to others for whatever reason, then Krishna may purify us by various means, and it may be by taking away everything. But ultimately, if we learn the lesson, it's all well worth it. Because the empowerment of the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement is in the purity of the hearts of the Vaishnavas. All the facilities we have are only meant to utilize as tools to bring people to the association of the devotees. Prabhupada explained that he has built these temples all over the world just to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees. And what will actually change people's hearts is the quality of that association. So if we are actually humble, actually pure, sincerely taking shelter of the holy names, sincerely respecting others in a spirit of service, then Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, their mercy can flow through us individually and collectively to make a great impact in the world. And ultimately, whatever brings us to that point is all auspicious. So therefore, devotees should always be striving for that. So Krishna, after stealing the butter from Yashodamayi, was tied to a wooden grinding mortar, and Yashodamayi was thinking, now he's safe, he cannot go anywhere, and she went to perform her household duties. And Krishna wanted to fulfill the desire of Narada Muni, his great devotee, and deliver Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So Krishna, little child, began to crawl and pull that grinding mortar, the most difficult of all trees to be uprooted, because their roots go so deep into the ground and above the ground as well. When these two trees came down, it made such a massive commotion. The Vrijavasis came running to see. So here in today's verse we find that Krishna has just revealed his opulence of tearing down the Arjuna trees as a little baby child. And some of the children, they said, Krishna, pull the grinding mortar between and pull these trees down. But the Vrijavasis could not accept it. They were thinking, why is it? How is it? Did some demon push down these trees? Why did these trees fall? And how is it that the Supreme Personality of God had protected our little Krishna? The trees felt just on inches on both sides of him, and he was not hurt at all. Due to their ecstasy of love, they were not able to understand or to see the power of Krishna, because this would interfere with their spontaneous intimate affection. Madhurya Ras. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, where Krishna's pastimes are unlimitedly sweet. So after this, Krishna and Balaram are going to play on the banks of Jamuna with their friends. Prabhupada describes so many of the different games they would play. Sometimes they would play hide and seek. Sometimes they would play with balls made out of amalaki fruits and catch the balls and throw at each other. Other times all the boys would have a game who could be the first to touch Krishna. They would all be running to Krishna. I touched Krishna first. Other times, Bhagavatam explains, Krishna and his friends would imitate the animals of Vrindavan. They would jump like the monkeys. They would follow the birds. Sometimes in the forests and on the riverbanks, Krishna would imitate the peacocks by moving his neck in wonderful ways. And the boys would all clap their hands and say, "Well done, Krishna, well done," because he looked so much like peacock. Little do they know that he is the one who gives the power of the peacock to move. In this way, Krishna would simply please his friends with his all beautiful, charming qualities, and would find the ultimate pleasure in playful pastimes. Sometimes they would wrestle, and Sridharma would defeat Krishna in wrestling. How is this possible? Expansion of his expansion was Lord Narasimhadev, who tore apart Hiranyakashipu. Varahadev, who effortlessly lifted the earth. Parasaram, who annihilated the entire Kshatriya class 21 generations consecutively with his chopper. And the source of all that power and strength is Gopal Krishna. He's the source of Mahavishnu. Just by the inhaling, he destroys the entire cosmic manifestation. How could he be defeated by a cowherd boy in wrestling? This is an exchange of love. Just like if a father is playing with a baby child and the child says, "I want to wrestle you." And the father says, "Yes, yes, I will wrestle you." Now, if the father wants, he could just slam down his child and beat him a few times, kill him in a matter of seconds. Yes? But would that give him pleasure? Would that give the child pleasure? But sometimes the child will crawl on the father and start pulling him, and the father will fall down, and then the child will start holding him and squeezing him, and the father will just, "I give up, I give up, I give up. Stop, stop, I cannot tolerate it. You win, you win." That gives pleasure to the father, and it gives pleasure to the child. So Krishna finds the ultimate pleasure in being defeated by his devotees. He is Bhakta Vatsal. He is defeated by the love of his devotees. That is the true essence of Vrindavan, where the Supreme Absolute Truth is eternally performing his lila, where he is always subordinate to the love of his devotees. In Dasya Ras, and especially in Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. So on this particular day, when Krishna is playing with Balaram and the Gopas, Yashoda is calling Rohini Devi to call Krishna and Balaram to come for prasad. Because what we are reading about is Janmashtami celebration. This happened to be Krishna's birthday. The auspicious stars and the constellations signal to Yashoda that it is Krishna's appearance day. So she had prepared a wonderful feast for him. So Rohini Devi came to Krishna and Balaram, but they were so much attached to playing with the other boys that they ignored all of Rohini Devi's requests. Therefore, Rohini Devi, understanding herself helpless, sent Mother Yashoda to directly come to bring her children. So Yashoda comes, and she sees her children playing, and she called them again and again and again, as the ecstasy of her love manifested by milk flowing from her breasts. She called them for lunch. "Please come back. You are late for your lunch. You have played sufficiently. Come back. My dear son, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play anymore." She was very worried that they had not eaten in so long, and their bodies were covered with dust from playing, and they needed to take their baths. So she appealed to them, "Come, take your lunch, and let me give you your bath and decorate you with ornaments, because today is your birthday, Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj will not take prasad until both of you come." So by Yashoda Mai's motherly affection, she once again conquered Krishna and Balaram. They submitted to her desire and came home. And then they had this wonderful birthday celebration. And how did Krishna celebrate his birthday? This is very, very interesting. It's just the opposite of how materialistic people celebrate their birthdays. Krishna celebrated his birthday by giving gifts to the Brahmins. He was giving cows, and giving jewels, and giving cloths in charity away. This is how Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj arranged Krishna's birthday celebration. Now in the material world, especially the Western conception, when children have birthdays, everyone comes to give you gifts. That's the day that you're the enjoyer. But Krishna happens to be the supreme enjoyer. He's actually the only enjoyer. But when he was celebrating his birthday, he was giving all gifts to other persons, especially to the Brahmins, who were suitable recipients. And he was begging, in giving gifts and offering services, Mother Yashoda was thinking that these Brahmins would give their blessings to the child. This is actual wealth. Obtaining material facilities is not real wealth. But giving service by using whatever we have to assist qualified persons, if in return we receive their blessings, that is the supreme wealth. Because in that blessing we can get bhakti or devotion. Without the blessings of great souls, bhakti is impossible to achieve. It is said, in giving we receive. But what we give and what we receive is very important to understand. Krishna was giving cows and other useful items to Brahmin devotees. And in return, he received their blessings. So how nice it would be if this was the consciousness of people's birthdays. That to get the greatest wealth, let me not be the enjoyer this day, let me be the servant. And in India, to some extent, this is still happening. Sometimes we see religious Vaishnavas when it is their child's birthday, they'll bring them to the temple, and the little child will be just offering all gifts to the deities, all gifts to the devotees, and just, please bless my child. This was Srila Prabhupada's father's love for him. Srila Prabhupada explained every day his father would feed so many sadhus. Prabhupada said, I don't know how qualified, but my father liked to serve sadhus, because that's a principle. And after giving so much of his hard-earned wealth to feed them prasad, he would ask, please bless my child, that he will get the mercy of Srimati Radharani and become her devotee. Thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments? Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, would you please like to speak? To purify the atmosphere. Gopi Puranadana Prabhu is one of the most learned actual Vaishnava scholars in our whole society. But he's so humble, he just sits in the corner tolerating this child who is talking. Would you like to speak something on this subject today? Please? Yes?
How does the actual transaction or the transference, when someone gives blessings or asks for blessings, it happens to even in our existence, in our lives, how does it actually work? Is it a higher authority? How does it actually work that the blessings take
Hare
place?
Krishna. It is not an intellectual subject matter to be understood, but in principle, all blessings come from Krishna. And if someone is very dear to Krishna, if you please that person, then you please Krishna. And then his blessings will come through that person's good feelings toward you. And that is the greatest wealth. If anyone thinks that the blessings is theirs, they actually have nothing to give. An actual Vaishnava will simply pray to his guru, to Sri Radharani and Krishna, please bless this person. And they will certainly hear that prayer and give their blessings. Just like in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Prataparudra Maharaj requested Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to arrange a meeting with him and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya to meet the king, the Lord became very angry. He said, what are you asking me? For one who is in the renounced order of life, who is desiring to cross over the ocean of material existence, to associate with a worldly person like a king is more deadly than drinking poison willingly. This kinchananam bhagavat bhajanob makokam. That if you ask this question again, I will leave this place. Then Ramananda Rai came with the king from South India to Puri. And Srila Ramananda Rai went to meet Lord Chaitanya. And he reported to the Lord that, my dear Lord, on your request, I asked King Prataparudra if he would give me leave from my duty as the governor of Madras to come here in Puri to associate with you. As soon as he heard your name, tears flowed from his eyes, his limbs trembled, his hair stand on end, his voice choked up. He said, you are so fortunate. The Lord will have nothing to do with me, but he's willing to see you. Not only will I give you retirement, but I will give you full pay for the rest of your life. And all you have to do is serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai said, my Lord, I wish even a speck of his love for you would be in my heart.
Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that he pleased a devotee like Ramananda Rai. He said, actually, Ramananda Rai, nobody has more love than you. But because this king has gone out of his way to perform this service to you, and he has pleased you so much, therefore it is certain that Krishna will give him his complete mercy. Then the Lord quoted that one who is my devotee is not as dear to me as he who is the devotee of my devotee. That the greatest way of serving Krishna is by pleasing his devotees. Das, 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 anudas. So if we actually want blessings, it's not just a matter of going and saying, Maharaji, please give me your blessings. That is not the way to get blessings. Prabhupada did not like that. One time a man came to Prabhupada and said, give me your ashirvad, your blessings. Prabhupada, just go away from me. He said, no, Swamiji, give me your blessings, give me your blessings. So Prabhupada said, I bless you that your material life is finished, that you lose everything. Hare Krishna. That person fell to the ground in total anguish and prayed, Swamiji, not like that. That's not what I asked. Prabhupada said, that is my blessing, and walked away. Hare Krishna. So just begging for blessing is not the way to get blessings. But if with humility and devotion you serve a great soul and you please that great soul, when that soul is favorably disposed toward you, then Krishna is so satisfied that naturally he will shower his blessings upon you through that devotee. Does that answer your question? According to my realization, that's how it works. Hare Krishna. Is there any other questions?
It's in this description, and Narada, Karsh, Manigriva and Nalkuba, both were Karsh. And from description we understand that the women who were playing with the two brothers, they both were equally wrong. Nalkuba and Manigriva were the women. How come that Devarshi Narada did not curse those women? He cursed only Manigriva and Nalkuba. It seems in the part of Devarshi Narada that he was partial.
Why did he curse Manigriva and Nalakubara and not the women? Is that your question?
Yeah. He should have cursed both, or he should have not cursed both.
Because the women were humble. When the women saw Narada Muni, they were very ashamed. And they quickly got out of the water and covered their bodies out of respect for him. But Nalakubara and Manigriva, they didn't care anything for this Narada Muni. What do we care for Narada Muni? We are the associates of Shiva. And they were intoxicated, not just by liquor, but by false ego.
Further question again.
The ladies were respectful and humble.
And in this description, it described that Narada received felt compassion towards those brothers.
Yes.
So they were more degraded than he felt compassion. And he should have compassion for the ladies as well. If it is about compassion, blessings, then they also deserve blessings.
Anyways, you can tell Narada Muni what he should do if you like. I don't have such qualifications.
You are also representative of Narada, so better I should ask you.
You're not asking, you're telling me what he should do. Obviously, Narada Muni gave his back compassion to the ladies also. Such a great soul gives compassion to everyone. But it's more interesting how he gave his compassion to Nalakubara and Manigriva. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is describing, because his mercy to the two sons of Kubera directly involved the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. So how he gave his compassion and mercy to the ladies, certainly he did, but it is not written in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Yes, please.
Then let me describe that Krishna felt mercy upon Nara, Kumar and Maniki while they were standing in the court after Mata Sukunda. And they were delivered and they went to the heavenly planet, their residence, respective residence. So it is difficult for us to understand this is mercy as the first. They are well situated in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda. So if they are well situated there, how come that they are sent to again heavenly planet with the arm of Kubera? So if the mercy of Krishna others, how do they appreciate this is mercy? They are well situated in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda. So they will be any god even they want to come to Vrindavan and stay somewhere. They were educated by the mercy of Nara and Krishna, they kicked them out and they went to heaven planet. So how is the ignorance of Nara and Maniki? How we can appreciate this mercy of Krishna towards the
Hare Krishna.
At the beginning, when they took the form of trees, perhaps they didn't understand what mercy they were receiving, because they stood there as trees for 100 years. And this is before Krishna appeared. Yes? Please help me if I make any mistakes. Gopi Puranadana Prabhu is also a great editor, so he can correct any mistakes I may make. But they stood just as trees in a field, 100 celestial years. It's a long time. And they got purified. They had a long time to think about their aparadhas, how proud they were, how useless and nonsense they really were, how temporary all of their so-called beauty, wealth, strength, fame, knowledge. They had a lot of time to painfully realize that I had it and I lost it. And now here I am, just poverty-stricken, can't even move, can't even scratch my back. There's nothing I can do except stand here as trees. They had full consciousness. And it was after 100 years of that purification that Krishna appeared in Gokula and was performing his wonderful pastimes in their presence. And upon seeing Krishna's delightful pastimes, their hearts became completely purified, completely humble, completely surrendered to the Lord. They had no more ego except to be the servant of the servant of the Lord. So after Krishna pulled down the trees and they came in their bodies, Krishna sent them back to their abodes. But they were already pure Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. And within their hearts, the beautiful childlike pastimes of Krishna were ever going to be enacted. So this is the mercy of Lord Krishna. Does that answer your question? You're asking why didn't Krishna just let them remain as trees? They had the opportunity to assist Krishna in his pastimes by allowing him to tear them down. And we're still reading about them today and glorifying them. So there's no greater benediction that Krishna can give us than to give us the chance to assist him in his transcendental pastimes. Srila Prabhupada said that the Hare Krishna movement is performing the divine pastimes, assisting Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes of spreading the glories of the holy name all over the world. Prabhupada said by preaching the Sankirtan movement, we're actually participating in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine leela. Such mercy coming through Srila Prabhupada, giving us the chance to actually participate in the unlimited, all-merciful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the greatest blessing, to have the chance to serve. Is there any other questions?
If they distribute food and charity, if they earn the wrong means, are they freed from the reaction?
Maharaj Parikshit
in his discussion with Shukadeva Goswami, was telling him that you have just explained the terrible sufferings of the hellish planets, fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It assumes that by performing pious activities to nullify the reactions of sinful activities is like an elephant that takes his bath in the river and then comes out again to roll in the dust. Because as long as that seed of sinful desire is within the heart, then we'll again be forced by the modes of nature to engage in impious acts. Therefore, the path of bhakti does not take very seriously pious or impious activities for the sake of purification. In fact, Prabhupada explains the difference between piety and impiety is like the difference between wet stool and dry stool. Do you know the difference between wet stool and dry stool? Human beings do not know the difference, but a hog knows the difference. I actually investigated this philosophical idea and watched hogs. For a hog, dry stool is quite flavorless because it's actually juice that creates ras or taste. But wet stool is very flavorful and nectarine for them. So for a human being, whether it's wet or dry, it's stool, it's abominable. Similarly, for a devotee, pious or impious, it's all material. It's all ultimately abominable. It all leads to death and illusion. Therefore, bhakti is to engage in the Lord's service. Anything that is done in the Lord's service has eternal benefit and purifies the heart. Therefore, if we distribute food, we distribute Krishna's prasad. And the greatest charity is to give people the opportunity to come closer to Krishna by giving the books of Srila Prabhupada, by doing Harinam Sankirtan, by speaking the word of Krishna, by somehow or other engaging people in connecting to Krishna through some service or even appreciation. Srila Prabhupada says if a person once appreciates anything on the path of bhakti, if they appreciate a building that has been made by the devotees, if they appreciate the qualities or activities of a devotee, that appreciation begins their spiritual life because they're actually appreciating Krishna. So this is the greatest charity, to give Krishna. Of course, it is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that in order to transcend the modes of material nature and become Krishna conscious, we have to come to the platform of the mode of goodness. From the mode of goodness, we can transcend the modes of nature. And this is very important to understand, because sometimes devotees, they skip this essential principle. They think they can act in any way, and because they're devotees, they'll transcend the modes of material nature. Devotees are supposed to be the most pious, but in their piousness, they're engaging everything in devotional service. The mode of goodness is honesty, integrity, self-control. Prabhupada said, you can tell my devotees because they're perfect ladies and perfect gentlemen. So all these principles of mundane morality or piety are embodied perfectly in a devotee, but everything he's using in Krishna's service. Everything he or she is doing is for the pleasure of Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.